Kia ora koutou katoa, no mai haere mai. Hello and welcome to Inspired Church Albany podcast. We are a Jesus-centered church that believes in the power of God to transform lives. No matter where you're from, who you are, we pray that this message will bless you and launch you into everything God has for you. Enjoy this message on this month's theme, One Heart.
He's worthy. Okay, now you can be seated. Okay, we'll get to the word. We haven't got that long to get to the word this morning, so we'll get to it. But that was good. I'm very disappointed. I think someone must have cheated. If green team beat us, I don't know how that even happened, okay? I want to title my message this morning that we are stronger together, okay? Our verse, as you can see, is one heart. Be joined together in perfect unity. Be joined together. Everybody yell out together. Let's make this an active, lively participation Pentecostal service this morning. Together. Together. One more time. Together. Together. That's good. I tell you what, it's a huge word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, of course, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Yeehaw! Yeah. I tell you what, the Bible says in Romans 10:7, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So where does faith come from? It comes by hearing. That's why we need to activate the word of God. This is not about a nice little thing of one heart and we get all tender about it. One heart actually comes from the Word of God. It's about faith in the Word of God. And when you activate the Word of God and when you believe it and preach it and declare it, that's why we come to church, to preach the Word of God. Like I said, I think it was two Sundays ago, the best solution on the planet still, the best thing any church can do is not actually having nice little social justice things that are happening. They're all good, and we do all those, but the best thing the church can do is have church services like this, where the power of God turns up, shifts lives, changes mindsets, renews hearts, and restores hope. It's good to hear you agree with that, okay? Netflix won't change your life. I don't care how many times you watch them. Netflix will have zero change in your life. The Word of God will shift you into a place of faith, believing, hope, and restoration. Then whatever trouble you walk through, you can walk through in peace and knowing that if God is with you, who can be against you? Julia and I were up in Whangarei yesterday, or Friday night and yesterday, or whatever it was, and marrying a young man who's been a friend of our family for a long time. And we were just reminded as we were doing speeches and things that he was with us one day. We were down in Mexico, and we'd driven down into Mexico, and stuff had happened, and we ended up getting arrested by some gangland people, and wasn't a pleasant experience. Now, two things can happen there. Fear can grip your heart and destroy your faith, or your hope in God can cause you to know that greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. And with a magnum, whatever they're called, just looked like a big gun to me that would kill you any second, pointed at the side of my head right here, and on the brink of death, and wanting all of our belongings and wanting the kids out of the van and all that. And sorry, Julia? Well, he had all the passports already. But anyway, on that horrible point where you could let fear take over, I was like, God, I still trust you. And we can trust God in the darkest hours of our life. And I want to tell you who's together with you today. I want to be together with people of faith. I want to be together with the Holy Spirit. I want to know that where I walk, he walks. And when I said to that man, you don't know who you're dealing with here, apparently. Okay? Now, if he's just dealing with a flea that thinks they're defeated and condemned and weak and feeble and not really believing that God is a God of resurrection, miracles, and healing, not knowing that I'm a man who was raised from a paralytic bed, so I believe God can do anything. And I said, you need to be real careful, sir, because you are dealing with a man of God here. And I want to tell you, right then I had to do a bit of a cross sign so he understood what I was talking about. And but I said, right now I want to tell you, you are dealing with a servant of the Most High God. You better be real careful. And the old gun clicked off, down, away it went, gave us back all our stuff, and we were free to go. God is a God of miracles. If fear had ruled, we would never have got out of that situation, I promise you. But because we serve a God who doesn't operate in the realm of fear, but operates in the realm of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, okay? The verse we've got for this month, and I love this theme. I love every theme we've got, but it's Philippians chapter 2. I want to read the whole thing. We're just dealing with verse 2, which says, one heart be joined together in perfect unity. But I want to read the whole chapter. 1 to 5 I want to read you, sorry. Here it goes. Out of the TPT, which is actually, what is the TPT? The Passion Translation. Thank you very much. Okay? It's in your U version, so you can all follow it. You can go home and read it for yourselves and get it in there, okay? Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. What a great way to start a book. That's starting a book. This is Paul writing a book to the Philippians, a letter, and he starts off with this. Look at how much encouragement you have found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. This is kind of, I wonder if we'd write the same letter or we'd write, man, I'm pretty depressed today. Don't even know if God's still on the throne, feeling a little sick today. Don't even know if it can turn up actually, but oh well, let's hope that God will come right in a day or two. No, Paul is so positive. People complain about me being positive, but if you read the Bible, people say to me, oh, Don, you're just too positive. I don't know what works best. I mean, I know your battery's got a negative terminal on it, but I don't want to flipping live on that one. I thank God the day I went and had my blood tested and found out that my blood type was B positive, so I should be positive. I think some people have got just B negative or whatever. Huh? Oh, that's Julia. Okay. That's why the opposing thing. That's why I keep her fired up, you see. Okay, let's not have an argument today, all right? Okay? But here's what he goes on to say. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. Now, this is about unity and being together. This is about what we're connected to. So your number one connection, you can write this down if you take notes or you're writing your shopping list, interrupt your shopping list or whatever you're writing about or doing on doodling on Facebook, just write down, my relationship needs to be very strong with the Holy Spirit. I don't want religion. I don't want New Age thinking. I don't want some kind of mumble, waffle. I want a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't get too excited about it, all right? And because when we have a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit, you'll find that He speaks to you. That He literally, the Holy Spirit is looking for relationships. That's why I can go in and when I'm praying for Don Ramdari, the Holy Spirit says to me very clearly that there is a spirit of fear that has gripped his heart and he is afraid of dying and it's over his family and you need to rebuke that spirit and get it off this man and out of this room. And instantaneously, he started to have a turnaround. So we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that unlocks the possibilities of God in our lives and so that we walk by faith and not by sight, okay? Is this okay for you guys? Goes on in verse 2. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined, and let's say it again together, here it goes, that you be joined together. Together. Well, let's do it a lot better. Well, let's just do this, okay? 1, 2, 3. One heart, be joined together in perfect unity. Okay, so he's talking about togetherness here. With one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Boy, I tell you what, that is powerful. If we really got a grip on that verse, if we really did, see what would change in our world, in our church, in our nation. See what would happen. One together in unity. And then he goes on to say, walk together with one harmonious purpose. I don't know whether that's singing together or whatever it is. Walk together with one harmonious purpose. Well, I tried to work together with Colbus the other day. We had our leg tied together. That's probably why Yellow lost. You and I could have been the cause. But we had our leg tied together and we had to do a three-legged walk, which is a stupid thing. And because he's a lot taller than me, if you haven't noticed. And so it just... I don't know how that works, you know. But anyway, we had to run across this field and it just didn't work and the rope broke before we all tripped over and hit the deck. Anyway, that just came to me when I was thinking walk together in harmonious purpose. Verse 3 says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. See, I think you're just speaking right there to the green team. But in authentic humility, green team, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Yes. Like the yellow team. Okay? Verse 4, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Very easy in our Western world to get tied up in your own interests. Consistently tugged by our own interests, by fulfilling our own desire. And we stop, we struggle to care for others, to reach out beyond our own barriers of self and reach into the world of others. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what the love of Jesus is about. That's what Jesus was ultimately about, lifting others up before yourself. Lifting others up before yourself. It was interesting in our life group, which I think is the best life group in church, on Wednesday morning, at 6 a.m., where were you? And one guy was saying in there, I think it was there, I can't remember which group it was in, I'm in too many groups. Oh, it was in Julia's group, sorry. This was in a Wednesday night group, which happens at our play. But there was one individual was saying there that the greatest healing thing in his life was when he got his mind off himself and onto others. Because when we get focused on ourselves, we are anti-Bible. That's where, you know, have you heard the word of God lately? I think some people can have it sort of drift on around them, but they don't apply the word of God. The Bible says, put others before yourself. That's how if you're struggling with sin in your life, just serve somebody else. Serve somebody else and change your world. Wasn't it your group, Julia? It was at the 6 a.m. group. I just remembered now. Remembered who said it, okay? Verse 4 says, so that's what it says, abandon every display of selfishness, possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. This is for everybody in the church, okay? Don't matter who you are. You might not even be a Christian today. This is the best message in the world for you, and we'll just title it today, if I haven't already, Stronger Together. You are stronger together. You are always going to be stronger together. When I'm feeling weak, I need someone alongside me, not who will come alongside me and say, oh gee, Don, I can understand why you're feeling so down. Yeah, everything in society's going to custard. Yeah, it's not looking good. I need someone alongside me who's going to say, have you read your Bible lately? Have you done some worship? Have you put on a little bit of worship in the last week? Have you pumped your spirit man up so it becomes bigger than your natural man? Or is you might have gone to the gym every day of the week, but and your physical man might be looking pretty good, but the way your spiritual man has shrunk away to a weedy little thing tucked away in the corner, hiding away from the devil, then that's not going to do you any good, friend. You've got to build your spirit man up with the same kind of effort you put into building your physical man up. That's why I look good in both dimensions. And consider the example of Jesus, the anointed one, who he has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. I love the way the Passion Bible put it. Let his mindset become your motivation. So he was consistently about his Father. He was consistently about his Father's word. When he walked into the temple, he was consistent. This is my Father's house. This is Father's house. This is, well, who are you today? Where do you exist? What realm are you living? If you're just living in the natural realm, you're missing out. If you're just locked down into a little natural realm of the world and society and TV and the news and all that is your big guide in life. But if it's the Word of God, hello somebody, if it's the Word of God, then it will propel you toward your destiny in Christ, which will be motivated, inspiring, and life-changing in every realm you get in. Honestly, if we talk about this stuff in reality, it's about covenant. Most of us have no clue of covenant. I'm convinced of that. I feel like I could preach for about a week on this, but we've only got a few minutes. In fact, my time has turned off. Glory to God. Anyway, covenant. Most of us don't understand covenant because we got a Western mindset. So it's very difficult for us to understand covenant. If you're an Eastern mindset person, you may have an understanding of covenant. But for a Western mindset, we struggle with the idea of covenant. I mean, probably the best idea we could possibly have is if you watch cowboy movies. And probably looks like none of you do. You'd sooner watch those robot thing. What is that movie you like, Julia? Anyway. But the good old cowboy movies were true. And Gary Cooper and some of those guys. Some of you wouldn't have a clue. Look, if you want to understand covenant, you need to look at some of the Westerns, at least you get an idea, where there was at least some blood involved. And they cut hands and things. One of the great movies, my dad used to get me watching cowboy movies, and that was good lessons in my life. And Gary Cooper and the Indian Brave, of course, there's always an Indian there, and there's always was Gary Cooper, the cowboy. And the Indian Brave had come in, and Gary Cooper would come riding in on his horse looking sharp. And the Indian Brave, there's a bit of a picture for you on Covenant, Indian Brave would be caught in a bear trap. And so Cooper would jump off his horse, and he would go over to the Indian Brave who's caught in a bear trap, about to die in the bear trap. And you see Cooper, with the love of God in his heart, get off his horse and walk over to this Indian Brave and rescue him out of the bear trap. When he rescued him out of the bear trap, he nurses him and he stays there and sets up camp for a couple of nights, and the Indian Brave comes back to health. And he starts looking good, and he's up, and he's walking around again. And when he gets walking around, you see him. They get up in the morning. Cooper makes a coffee for him, which is what they seem to drink in cowboy movies. And so most of you must be cowboys. And then he goes, I suppose that's not even a good word today, is it? Cowboys, I don't know. But anyway, he goes, and then next thing, he makes him a coffee. And then you see the Indian Brave, he sneaks off around the back, and he goes over to the horse, and he draws out a huge knife out of the side of the saddle. And you're like, no! Because now he's going to kill Cooper, who showed him so much love. And then you see him come up, and he comes up behind Cooper, and you're thinking, oh man, I hate this movie. And he's got the knife, and then he reaches out, and then he comes right up to Cooper, and he grabs his hand, and he yanks his hand out in front of him, and he cuts across, slashes across the hand, slashes his own hand, and they join hands together, and they become blood brothers. And it's the power of covenant. If you read your Bible, you'll find that in 1 Samuel 18, that Jonathan and David walked the very same covenant together and became into a covenant relationship. Jesus hung on a cross for you and I and shed his own blood with nail prints in his hand, a spear in his side, and a crown of thorns on his brow, that you and me and him could become blood brothers. We're the same. To understand that is huge, but we don't. So we talk about unity, and it's like unity just becomes a word if you're not careful. It's a boring word that nobody really understands. And we talk about a church being in unity, and we talk about people being in unity, but we don't really understand it. So to understand covenant is one of the greatest things. You know, I had a revelation of covenant from the cowboy movies and when I first got born again. So I understood covenant. I remember when I led my best friend, one of the guys working on my building site, led him to Christ, and we decided that we would walk covenant together. We were a little, maybe, I don't know, we just studied the Bible for ourselves and had revelation about covenant, and so we decided that we'd do covenant walk together, and we walked covenant together with my very good friend. And we wonder why now that we are incredibly, he passed away and went to heaven. He had a massive heart attack about I don't know, 3 years ago?
7 years ago.
7 years ago, okay, heck. And now with his family and his wife, because we made covenant that he would look after my family, I'd look after his family, and we laid it all down, I tell you. Unity is about togetherness, man. It's about real, real stuff. I want us to get it. That's what camp was about, incidentally. A little bit more togetherness. Like connecting, knowing people's hearts, their feeling, what motivates them. And so then Cooper, of course, just to get back to that story for you, because I know you all love Westerns. Just, I've never seen some of you look so attentive, actually. Anyway, so then Cooper, they become blood brothers and off they go. They separate and go their separate ways. In the next scene, a few scenes down the track, Cooper's arrested by hostile Indians. And he gets captured by the hostile Indians, and you see them dragging him behind a horse, and you're like, man, this is going to custard. And they drag Cooper into the camp, and they've got him there, and then you just see it, and the chief? Yeah, has got him by the hair, and he's holding his hair up, and he's got another knife out, and he's about to scalp him. And you're like, man, it's terrible. And next thing, who should ride in, glory to God? The Indian brave. And the Indian brave comes in and says, hold it! You're not going to touch that man. And they're saying, he is a dog. He's nothing. We hate him. And then the Indian brave shows the cut on his hand and says, hold on, he's my brother. And so they could. And then what's more, and I love this part, then he gets down and he rips open the shirt of Cooper. And hanging right there is an emblem of the covenant they made. And he had an emblem around his neck and some little trinket thing from the Indian brave that he'd put on Cooper. And Cooper had given him one of his weapons. But here it was, the emblem. And he rips it open and he said, and there's the emblem of the seal of the covenant that we made back there. And Cooper was released and he was let go. Do you know the devil cannot touch you? Because when he comes and attacks you and he wants to destroy you, we need to remind him, and that's why we need friends around us, and that's why we need the word of God, and that's why we need to understand what it means about covenant. And we say to the devil, you have no power on me because I'm a blood covenant with Jesus Christ. I am a son of the living God. You can't touch this. We could start a rap song right there. But you can't touch this because this here is in covenant with the Almighty God. So we live in victory because of that. Are you with me? We live in victory. So you have the victory. This is why covenant is so important between us, even that we would walk in covenant together. When I promised Gary I would look after his family, I can't let a day go by where I'm not praying for his widowed wife, where I'm not reaching out to his son who was on drugs and totally out of control. And now to see him being restored and even speaking to him yesterday about he wants to be discipled now by me and become a man of God. And so we can never, ever underestimate the goodness of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. What do you got hanging around your neck today? I'll tell you what it is. It's the symbol of the covenant that Jesus made. It's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on your life, and you walk in total victory today because of that. Amen. Amen. I'd love to stop, but I just want to keep going for a second or two more. The Bible says this in Matthew 18:19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Can you see how incredibly powerful covenant is and how important it is that not just to call it unity but to walk in covenant? And then God says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, I'll do it. Lay hands on the person right next to you right now and say, I'm in agreement with you. Come on, let's do it. I'm in agreement with you. I'm in agreement with you, baby. You get in agreement. That business is going to take off in Jesus' name. That body's going to be restored and healed in Jesus' name. That child's going to come back into order in Jesus' name. That family relationship's going to come back into order in Jesus' name. Okay, is that what you were doing right then? That's what they're agreeing. We're agreeing on the things that we're believing for God to do. My time's up, but just let me give you a couple of points on this. Because the enemy hates it. I'll tell you right now. The enemy hates anything to do with covenant and unity because he realizes the incredible power that's in it. And that's why the Bible is so important. Hebrews, we are stronger together. Okay, Hebrews 10:23 said this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Are you spurring anybody on today? Are you spurring anybody on today? One more time. Are you spurring anybody on today? I wonder sometimes, I'm sitting in the front row and I'm feeling like the worship leader in my front row. And I'm thinking, why is it not a competition? Why is there somebody trying to beat me? I always feel whatever seat I'm sitting in, I am the worship leader of that row. And I think you should too. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's encourage one another that we need to get together and spur each other on and be fired up about the miraculous power of our God. Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." That's why I've got Julia. And honestly, we need to spur each other on to be incredibly together with what God has led. That's why this community is so, so important. Your I group, the group you're a part of. And that's why the enemy's so focused on stopping you from being there. Just listen to the top 40 on any given musical thing that you go for. Listen to the top 40 and you'll find that every single one, I've been just listening to a few over the last few weeks, and I find their number one cry is for authentic relationship. The number one cry of the songs of our world today is that we might have some sort of authentic relationship. The cry is out there. People are alone. If you talk about togetherness, just let's take that. Togetherness, such a warm word. You can start to dwell around the word togetherness. If you look up the Collins Dictionary, it says it's a warm gathering word. It draws you in. It pulls you in. Alone, if we talk about loneliness is a cold, horrible word that separates and pushes apart and leaves you feeling half dead. That's why God wants to bring us together and make us incredible keys for his victory. Amen? So here's just a couple of points you can take away. Number, how do we do it? Here's how you do it. Number one, believe the best of each other. Believe the best of each other. Just believe the best. Instead of seeing the worst, believe the best. Keep focusing on the positive. That's why I'm so positive. Number two, forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Like if you're not forgiving, God won't forgive you and you can't walk in covenant. Covenant's all about forgiveness. We say we are in unity, but we have no forgiveness. We don't understand covenant. We've never cut palms and joined together, so we lack of that understanding. God wants us to walk in covenant, which demands forgiveness. Demands forgiveness. So forgive quickly, okay? Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory, then, to overlook an offense. So in other words, it's to our benefit to overlook offense. So if I've offended you this morning, go to the word. It's to one's benefit to overlook an offense. Number three, stay teachable. Man, I want to be teachable till the day I die. I want to have people speaking in my life. I want to have coaches and mentors. If you haven't got a coach, if you haven't got a mentor, what are you doing? Get someone, spiritual advisor in your life, telling you how to shift and how to get on track with what God's doing. Who's pruning you? Who's clipping off the stuff? Who's telling you? You've got a spirit ruling in your life, a spirit of anger, a spirit of an attitude of anger that you need to deal with. Who's telling you that stuff? Because otherwise, it's very, a good garden, a good tree that produces good fruit gets pruned. And we need to be pruned. Okay? Number, what are we up to? Four, that's right. Number four, So I lost my own way there. And number four, love selflessly. Love selflessly. So it's not about what you can get, it's about what you can give. And the Bible would ask that we lay down our lives and give all. Pretty simple, really, if you just read the Word of God. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. Boy, that's powerful. One will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. Covenant, man. Unity, togetherness. Let's stay connected. Hello? Let's get more connected than we've ever been. I believe that there is a price to strength. People want to be strong, but there's a price to strength. For an organization like a church, there's a huge price to strength, and it's called stay. It's called stay in your position. It's called stay at the field. It's called, I can't remember the guy's name, David's man who fought off 800, killed 800 to protect just a can of baked beans, which was the strength of the team that he was leading. And I wonder what we've got that'll do that. But stay and be committed and be selflessly. Here's the next one, number five. Abandon every display or attitude of selfishness. Selfishness will drag you down and drag others down with it. It's called togetherness. And Amos 3:3 says, finish with this, can two walk together unless they are agreed? You can't even walk together unless you get, and that's what we found. We weren't agreed on our height or something, and we nearly fell over. But when you walk together, the most wonderful trips, the most wonderful experiences, Paul, me and Dave are about to go to Bogota next week, I think it is. We're going to Bogota, Colombia. Oh, next week. I'm talking about in 2 weeks, sorry. 2 weeks. We're going to Bogota and we're going together. And I can tell you right now, just the fact that we're going together, it's going to be an incredibly powerful experience. Get together and let someone input into your life and learn how God can be powerful in your life through togetherness. Amen? Stronger together. Amen? Finish there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you would cause us to rise up and walk in strength. God, we don't want to be weak. We want to be overcomers. We want to be more than enough for any given situation. We want to be the answer to the problem. We don't want to be the problem looking for answers. God, we want to be the answer. And I pray right now that your Spirit would dwell in us in a fresh way this morning. I pray that right now, Lord, we would rise up knowing that we are in covenant with the Lord God Almighty. That we walk in strength, that we walk in power, that we have God living in us and we are more than conquerors, we are overcomers in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to that message. We really hope you enjoyed it and it impacted your life. Remember, let's not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Activate it in your life. If you want to hear more or you want to journey with us, just type in Inspire Church Albany on Spotify and click follow. That's all from us. Ka kite anō.